KGVM Bozeman presents a recording of the Municipal Candidate Forum hosted by Forward Montana on Thursday, October 5th, 2023 at Wild Joe's on Main Street.
So we have a couple of really exciting races on the ballot this year. The two that we have here is our mayoral race and our commission race. We have three mayoral candidates and two city commission candidates. And we're going to let people introduce themselves. But first, we want to talk a little bit about what these people will be doing. So the mayor oversees all of our city departments and ensures that city policy and services are delivered in an effective, efficient, and equitable manner that is in compliance with our city commission's directive. The mayor drives policy for the city that determines our processes and oversees all city departments. The city commission, they craft and vote on city policies and budgets to represent Bozeman's residents' best interests. The commission works to create sustainable plans that help to determine how Bozeman will look in the years to come.
We have all mayoral and commission candidates here with us tonight. Before we dive into questions, we're going to give them 2 minutes to introduce themselves. This is also a great opportunity for our candidates to practice staying within our very strict time limits. We'll hold up this sign when you have 30 seconds left, and so signs are relative. And the sign when the time is up. We'll move into. Oh. All right. Someone's got to get to introduce yourself.
Oh. Hi, everyone. I am Jennifer Malachik, and I'm running for city commissioner. I've been on the city commission for the past 3 years. I've lived in the Bozeman community for about 25 years, and many of you know that I've worked in a variety of positions, including with James Jawlensky at the Gallatin County Courthouse. I worked for Senator John Tester for a number of years at an office just down this way. I have worked as a planning consultant for a number of conservation-oriented groups for the past 5 years. I've taken classes at MSU. I've participated in groups like Audubon and Montana Conservation Voters. Wild Montana, I consider myself a conservationist. I have a background in planning, though. So it has been kind of my life goal to merge how humans live without impacting the environment in a severely negative way. That, of course, is easier said than done, but pretty important that we live in a way that's sustainable and non-squeaky. I'm not sure why that's happening. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Next candidate. Oops, sorry. Okay.
You good? Hi, everybody. My name is Cindy Andrus. I am the, oh boy, there's a lot of feedback here. I'm the current mayor. Can you all hear me if I don't use the mic? Probably not. I'm the current mayor of Bozeman. I've been on the city commission for about 13 years now, and I've lived in Bozeman for over 30 years. I'm not a native of Bozeman. I chose to live here. I worked in Yellowstone Park, and when I left that work, I wanted to be close to the park, so I moved to Bozeman. I've worked several jobs in the community. Probably the most notable, I worked at the Chamber of Commerce for over 10 years as the Convention and Visitor Bureau Director. I love to hike, I love to ski, and I love this community, and I look forward to continuing my service.
Thank you. Good evening, you all, and thank you for being here. My name is Roger Blank, and I'm running for City Commissioner. First, I want to just take a brief moment. We all heard the news about Commissioner Pomeroy today. And I just want to say that I, myself personally, and my campaign, extend to her a speedy recovery and thanking her for her service to the city. About myself, I'm a trial attorney. I'm a former assistant district attorney. I was an ADA on the East Coast in a major metropolitan area. I am now in my own practice where I've switched to the other side, where I now represent people who are accused by the government. As part of my experience with the as an ADA, I've dealt with animal cruelty cases, everything from drugs to homicide and litigated. And I also went on to become a special prosecutor in the New York City Police Department, where I prosecuted police officials for corruption and misconduct, and now I'm in my own practice. Thank you.
Is it less feedbacky if I'm back here? Hi, everybody. My name is Joey Morrison, and I'm running for mayor. As we look around, for many of us, we are losing sight of what Bozeman once was, and we need to be starting to look at going in a new direction. For so many of us, we feel unrepresented by City Hall, that City Hall feels more and more out of touch as it favors seemingly out-of-state developers or the wealthy and the well-to-do in this community rather than the working people who make this community run. I've lived in Montana all my life. I grew up in the eastern part of the state in Miles City, raised by a single mom, one of five kids, and learned from an early age that my family did not have very much, that we struggled to make ends meet in the same way that many Montanans still struggle today. And that struggle continued for me while I came to Montana State University. My grandmother told me I needed to go get a degree to make sure that I could get ahead, just like she did. While I was here, I struggled with my classes during the daytime, and I spent my nights working as a social worker with agencies like Haven and the Warming Center, working with some of the most vulnerable people in our community, people that we did not have adequate resources to properly support. It was in these moments, working with people in some of their toughest experiences, some of the most dire experiences that people can face, that I realized this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. To me, running for mayor is no different. Bozeman is in a position of crisis, and we need to start exploring going in a new direction. So to me, running for mayor is just one more step in my career as a social worker and as a crisis worker, working with the people that work to make this community run, and that whose backs are constantly breaking and having to ask themselves, how long can I stay here? As we have businesses that are beloved, that are closing their doors because they cannot keep their employees. As we have seniors that live on fixed income, that are retired and having to sell their homes to pay for their retirement. We know that we are in a crisis and that can no longer endure. Yeah, sorry. thank you. My name is Joey Morrison.
Hi there, can you hear me in the back? My name is John Meyer. I'm running for mayor of Bozeman to make our town the most sustainable on the planet. I have twin boys that are 4 years old about a month ago, and it's important to me that they grow up in a good town. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. I went to the University of Montana, Missoula. I hope you don't hold it against me. I got a degree in biology and Spanish. I worked for the U.S. Forest Service as a federal biologist. I got dropped off on the side of the road with a map and a compass, and the Forest Service said, go hike alone in grizzly bear country, if you find somewhere plants that won't log. And when I was logging, I found a baby fawn, see what the spots on. And the Forest Service was saying, we need to log this place, we need to salvage log it. It's gonna go to waste if we don't cut it down. And I realized it's not gonna go to waste if we don't cut this down. This is good habitat. So I decided to go to law school. I graduated with honors from Vermont Law School in 2009. I started my own law practice here in Bozeman. We're a nonprofit law firm. We represent our members. We're dedicated to protecting the people, the forest, the water, and the wildlife in the American West. We've had wild success the last 12 years representing our members here in Bozeman. What else should we talk about? How long do I have? I got 45 seconds here. We're facing a water crisis. We should not bring more vacation houses in. We shouldn't bring more people in from out of state if we can't ensure that the people here have adequate water. It's just simple common sense. And for whatever reason, the commissioners aren't hearing that. And so I want to be the voice of change. I've been hearing that I can't do things my whole life, and I'm here to say I'm doing it right now. People say you can't start a law firm out of law school, and I'm doing it now. We have one of the most successful law firms in the Western U.S., and I'd really appreciate your support this November.
Great. So we have a couple of questions for our candidates up here. We have about 4 questions. It'll take about an hour to get through. Each person's going through 5 questions. Each person will have 2 minutes to answer. We're going to pretty strictly enforce the 2 minutes. I know that these issues, we boiled them down to a couple of really strong issues in our community. We know that you all, as our attendees, our audience, probably wants to hear more, so we encourage you to reach out to candidates individually, email them. I'm sorry, I didn't ask if I could say that beforehand, but and we know that our candidates might also have a lot to say, more than 2 minutes worth, but we're going to keep moving on so we can get to our audience questions. Up here at this table at the front, there are some note cards for submitting some questions, and we'd love to answer as many questions as we can get through tonight. We know we can't get to all of them, however, we're going to try our hardest. So please come up and submit your questions, and we will get through those. So since our questions, we have some pretty heavy ones throughout about policy and change and how things are right now in Bozeman, and also thinking about the future. We wanted to break things up so you can get to know our candidates on maybe a more personal level, since there's not too many candidate forums in Bozeman right now. Just a handful, we wanted to be able to have you all connect. So our first question that we have is, what is your favorite spot in Bozeman? That could be a restaurant, a shop, an outdoor space, or anywhere. And each candidate will have about a minute to answer. And we'll start with Jen, go down the line.
Okay, pretty easy question to start off with. I think my most favorite place in Bozeman is Pete's Hill and the Linear Trail. I am on those trails pretty much every day. It really, to me, brings kind of the outdoors and our community together in terms of being able to see people on the trails, have conversations, see dogs, but also enjoy a little bit of what our community used to be before people, the creeks, the mountains, the native vegetation. So to me, that's kind of my escape and my most favorite part of Bozeman. Thanks.
Well, my favorite part of Bozeman is also half of it's a trail and half of it is an eating venue. I live on the south side of town, and every morning now I get up and I walk about 4 miles, starting around Tuckerman Park, and walk on the Galligator Trail. I love being able to see all of the changes of the seasons. I run into so many friends and neighbors on that trail, and I just feel so fortunate that we're a community that really supports the trail system like the Galligator. On Saturdays, when the weather's good, I get up and I walk on that trail all the way to Wild Crumb, which is my favorite place to have a scone or a cup of coffee. And I feel like after I've walked all that miles, I can then afford to have a cup of coffee or a scone or maybe 2. So those are my 2 favorite places right now in this community.
I would say there are a couple of favorite places, one being, as Commissioner Magic said, Pete's Hill. It's a little slice of heaven in the middle of downtown. I also like Ted's, Montana Ted's, for a nice place and steak, as well as a nice place to have a cocktail in the evening, and also the Western Diner for breakfast. Thank you.
My favorite place is right here in front of the voters, getting to know all of you. I have the great fortune of living with my partner and some roommates and 2 dogs. These dogs run our life, so it would be disingenuous to say anything other than near the Highland Glen area, like east of the hospital. That's just where our dogs grew up. It's where our dogs love to play. It's the best place for us to be able to walk them, and we can get to it because our house is nearby. To me, it also, just walking out and seeing a lot of agriculture, that's just where I grew up. That's similar to eastern Montana, just rolling hills and various agriculture. And yeah, it's a beautiful place you can see all around.
My favorite place in Bozeman is the community where I live. I'm in the Bridger View Affordable Housing, and we back up to the Story Mill Park. So my kids get to run outside and play in Story Mill Park every day. They love that real long metal slide. You guys are like huge hill. They absolutely love that. And it's such a blessing to have that. It's a great blessing to have a community where it's mixed income. We have people who make a lot of money. We have people who don't make a lot of money. It's so neat to feel like I'm part of a real community where you're not segregated by class or income or whatever it is. And that's such a cool thing that we don't see enough of in Bozeman.
All right, so we're going to turn to a little bit of a harder question. So with the rising cost of housing and living in Bozeman, many people, especially young folks, are struggling to see a sustainable economic future for themselves in our community. What is the role of the City Commission and Mayor in helping to support and retain a talented young workforce in Bozeman? Let Cindy go first.
Great,
Jacob's
shaking off a little bit. So thanks for the question. I think that as mayor, the best way for us to retain a talented workforce and to make sure that folks make a good living is to set a good example. I think as most of you know, we can't mandate what employers pay their employees, but we can make sure that the folks who are working in our organization are paid a good wage and can make sure to live and work in our community like they hope to. During my tenure, I was able to increase our employee salaries from 20 to 25% over the last year. And our vacancy rates went from double digits down to single digits. So I'm very, very proud of that. I think young folks are really important and vital to our community, and they deserve to live in our community. And I will continue to do everything I can at City Hall to set a good example and make sure that the wages that we pay there are good wages and livable wages. I just wanted to leave you with one example of a job right now that's posted. I gotta make sure I get these numbers right. On the City Commission website, this is a job for an assistant comptroller. The wage is between $92,000 and $101,000. It has medical, dental, and vision benefits. It has 13 holidays, 15 vacation days, 12 sick days. It has retirement benefits and a lot of training opportunities. So I think that's a great example of how we are really trying at City Hall to pay our employees well, to retain the folks that we have there, and attract new folks as well. Thank you.
And then it is Joey. Nope, sorry, it's Roger. Roger.
All right. First of all, I believe city administration's job is to foster an economic environment that will have business invest in Bozeman. Being that in manufacturing with low-paying jobs such as Gibson Guitar, or in high-tech such as Oracle. And so creating an environment for people to want to not only come and stay and live here, but also invest here. The other thing is also, one of the many complaints I've heard in the business community is the maddening level of bureaucracy in the current city government. And that really needs to be streamlined. Streamlined in a way that doesn't hurt protecting what we all value here, being the natural environment, being our sense of community, but streamlined in a way that allows people to invest and create those jobs and set up those businesses. Because if there's too much of a bureaucracy, they're going to look elsewhere. And that's one of the complaints I've heard in the business community that needs to be streamlined, and that's one of the goals that I would have as a city commissioner. Bozeman is in crisis, and I've seen it change since I've been here. A community where its children cannot afford to stay, it's a crime. That's a crime. The children who are born and reared here should be able to find well-paying jobs and be able to afford housing and stay here. And that is what this administration, I feel, has been lacking in addressing that I would bring to the position. Thank you.
Right. And then it is Joey. Good job.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Yeah, at the center of losing our young talent is still housing. Businesses that are having to close their doors or having to have short staffing issues or having to manipulate their hours to accommodate different work schedules, it's because their employees cannot afford housing. That has been the pressure that every business is struggling with. I've talked with dozens of business leaders that are trying to buy up a property that they would just keep for their employees. I mean, that is nearing dystopia, that businesses have to buy property to have their employees work in it. In many ways also, this is about what the commission prioritizes. Right now, the commission prioritizes approving developments that make the community more palatable to a new, wealthier demographic that is starting to move in and call Bozeman home. All the while, the working people that did everything right and are working their way through their careers cannot afford to stay here and have no dream that seems realistic that they can possibly afford to stay and buy a home one day. So many of us did everything right. Went to school, got our degrees. I left Montana State University with 3 degrees and a national scholarship, and that's still not a shiny enough resume to guarantee that I have a place to be able to continue to call Bozeman home and have a career here. So being able to just shift the narrative, shift the priority from out of state or from investors or from folks that want to call this place a place to make money to the locals, to the people who make this community run, really shifts the conversation. As mayor, I will in no way dither about the prioritization right there, that we need to prioritize the people who live and work in this community every day and make sure every policy reflects that.
If we want young professionals to live and work here, we need to provide them with affordable housing. I have lots of friends who have lived here for a long time that had to leave, saying, I had to give it up, I just can't do it anymore. My partner doesn't want to rent a house anymore. I'm 30, 35 years old. This is just not working. My wife said the same thing to me a few years ago. And so this is tragedy. This is crisis. It's up to the city commission to say, we're in a housing crisis. When you do that, when the city says we're in a crisis, they can then say, we're not going to approve any more vacation houses. We're not going to approve any more unnecessary development. And when you put that hard stop on that sort of unnecessary development, you're going to get the developer's attention. They're going to say, okay, what do we need to do now to work and play in the sandbox with you guys to provide some affordable housing? Because that's what we're not seeing right now. There's no incentive for developers to build anything affordable. Why would they? Why would you build something affordable when you can build a multi-million dollar condo above the Wild Crumb? It's crazy. It's just crazy what they're doing. We have to say, no more. No more, no more. We're not going to let you take over Bozeman. We need some real housing for people. The other issue that I think is really important, and I can speak from personal experience right now, is pre-K. Whether it's pre-K education or childcare, it's so expensive. My wife and I pay a couple thousand bucks a month to get them into school for pre-K. Montana is one of only 6 states in the entire U.S. that does not offer pre-K education. That is crazy. Why are we keeping our kids stupid? We should be offering them every education, every opportunity we possibly can. But the state legislature or whoever is not doing that. And so it's not enough just to complain about it and say, well, that really sucks, bummer. I'm in court right now on a citizen initiative saying the Montana residents can vote on whether we're going to offer pre-K, universal pre-K, to all of our youngest residents in the state. That's what I'm doing to make this affordable for every Montana.
So sorry. Yep, there you go.
Boy, really, really good answers from the slate of candidates, all of them. We have done, I think, a good job in this city of creating jobs. We have MSU, a growing student body at MSU for quite some time, and all the people who support that school and that college. We have a strong tourist economy, service industry economy. We have brought tech industry here, an outdoor sports industry, and so a lot of jobs, a lot of good jobs, well-paying jobs. What we have not done a good job of is providing housing for the people who either go to school here or who come here to work or who want to stay here and work. We have created a certain type of housing over the years that accommodated a certain income, but we absolutely have a responsibility as a city and as a city commission to provide a wide range of housing to meet the diverse types of individuals who live in this town. And that diverse range of housing is everything from apartments to single-family residents, to condos, to townhouses, to small houses, to small rentals, to big rentals. We're a diverse set of people here, and we need a diverse option of housing to meet those needs. And I absolutely believe that the City Commission has responsibility to not only call out our housing crisis, but to do something about it.
Yeah. Thank you all for those answers. Our next question, we're just going to head right into it. Right now, Bozeman has a climate action plan that has goals that include a 26% emissions reduction by 2025, 100% net clean energy by 2023, and being carbon neutral by 2050. What policies will you implement to meet these goals and work towards a cleaner environment for our community? And we're going to start with Roger.
Thank you. Well, first of all, the Bozeman's Climate Action Plan is based on the Paris Accords. And the Paris Accords are just frankly not realistic. I'm all for energy efficiency. I believe government has a role to set an example to work as efficiently as possible with its use of energy. But I think the reality is that fossil fuels are going to be around for a long time and we'll be using them for a long time. That doesn't mean that we should not diversify and have non-fossil fuels, of course we should. But each comes with their own problems. For example, windmills, there are the blades that the windmills are made out of, those are not recyclable. If you've driven through Minnesota, you see miles and miles and miles of windmills. When those windmills get taken down because they have a limited lifespan, they get buried in eastern Montana. So they're a problem. There's no simple solution to this. Certainly diversification helps. We've got to do everything we can to both live as well as run an efficient government and run our own lives efficiently. But the reality is fossil fuels have been around for quite a while. Diversification is okay, but I think the climate action plan, as the city has it, it's an aspirational document, but I don't think it's a realistic document. That doesn't mean we don't work towards making a better environment, but we also have to recognize the reality of the situation. And a perfect example is if you look at Germany. Germany is one of the most energy and natural fuel efficient countries in the world. This winter, they're going back to fossil fuels because there isn't the carrying capacity. And that's the reality. Thank you.
Well, here I am to say that the Climate Action Plan is not ambitious enough. I'm part of the generation that inherited the climate crisis. We don't have a choice but to care about it. We don't have a choice but to organize to fight for a livable future because we're losing it. And that is why it is a core component of just every young person's lived experience. And whenever I talk with young people, they don't want more plans without teeth. They don't want more gimmicks and slogans. We need real change. We need it to be aggressive. And that's why I'm proposing a 5-point plan to make sure that we can actually address the climate crisis in Bozeman in a meaningful way. The first thing we need to do is we need an answer to the question of how much water we have and how many people that can support in the valley, which isn't just a Bozeman question. That's a Belgrade question. That's a county question. That's a Three Forks question. When we have that, then we know how many people can be here. The second thing we need to do is we need to start putting our money where our mouth is and create a staff position within the city that is entirely tasked with winning EPA money. Right now, the state government is not a willing partner in addressing the climate crisis, but the federal government is. And there are millions of dollars in EPA grants that sit there that go to comparable cities to ours, and we're not getting them, and we need to get them. We also need to deepen our city-county partnerships to make sure that we're actually evaluating the real effects of climate change that are here right now. Like evaluating whether we need to implement a fuel reduction plan for our forests nearby, or riverbank stabilization efforts to make sure that communities don't get flooded like we saw last year. We also need to make sure that we clean up our city code to make sure that it's not working against us. Right now, it's still required to have vegetative cover in most new developments. That's not helping our water issue. And the fifth thing we need to do is make sure that we're actually bringing real negotiating points to the table with Northwestern Energy. They need to feel the crunch and the threat that they're going to lose ratepayers if they don't come to the table with us. And that is a core component of how I want to tackle the climate crisis here in Bozeman.
In 2011, at the end of the year, I got an email, and it was from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And anytime you get an email from the Court of Appeals, it gets your heart racing pretty hard. And the court had just notified us that we won a case that stopped the construction of a $550 million coal railroad from being built in southeast Montana. They're going to take farmers and ranchers' land to build this coal railroad. So the idea of fighting climate change is not new to me. I've been working on this issue for a long time. Now, I heard things about water, water, water. We always talk about lack of water. What are we going to do about it? I'm saying we need to put a moratorium on unaffordable housing. Stop approving development of unaffordable housing until we figure out how much water we have left. There's rumors all over the place about the city building a pipeline to Canyon Ferry, start stealing their water so we can then build more vacation houses for people. The city says, please conserve your water, don't irrigate your lawn as much. So what, we can save water and build more vacation houses for people? This doesn't make sense. We need to put the pause on development if we want to actually talk about climate change. And if we're going to talk about climate change, we need to say climate change is a symptom. It's not the problem, it's a symptom. The problem is overconsumption. We need to stop consuming as much. And I know that's unpopular, but it's true. We need to fundamentally alter the way our economy is run in the U.S. And we do that here in Bozeman by saying we're not going to just continue to approve all this unnecessary development. And while we put the pause on development, we start to build a public infrastructure, transportation system. Because we want to talk about getting cars off the road, but you got to give people buses. You got to give them an opportunity. Right now, we don't have any buses. We shouldn't ever have to drive a car to work or to a grocery store. We should be able to take public transportation everywhere. We shouldn't have to worry about people getting hit on their bikes. We should have good public bike lanes, transportation. Just tell me to stop. I'll stop.
Oh, boy, it's hard to follow an environmental attorney. But absolutely, I agree with him in that we need to take our climate action plan seriously. And we need to take water, we need to take our finite resources and make sure that we're planning for our city in a way that is sustainable and is going to be here in the long term for not only our children, but our children's children. And one way to do that is through land use planning, good community planning. And if you think about the way here we are on Main Street, you know, where Bozeman first started, and we've got all the businesses, we have some schools, we have churches, we have neighborhoods, and it's very walkable and for the most part safe with a variety of housing types, and it works. And I think we need to maintain these neighborhoods, and I also think we need to replicate them. So we have small villages throughout parts of Bozeman that are walkable, bikeable, you can go to the store, and if they're perhaps the walk is too long, you can walk to a bus stop, take a bus to where you want to go. But let's use land use to help solve some of these problems, and the city has a responsibility to get that land use pattern right. I have 20 seconds,
yeah.
Which to me means the right kind of housing too. In luxury condos for out-of-state users, is not responsible. We can have some of those, but we need to have housing for the people who go to school and work in Bozeman.
Oh. Well, what's left to be said, I guess. I climate is one of the most important things to me. It's important to me personally, and I think it's really one of the most challenging things right now that's facing our community, if not our whole entire country. I don't know, some of you may know this about me, but before I moved to Bozeman, I was a park ranger. I was a park ranger in Yellowstone National Park for many years, and I was also a park ranger up in Alaska. And the experiences that I had there really shaped and informed my views about how important it is to save those pristine areas of the Yellowstone ecosystem. I think the effect that our changing climate on those pristine areas and the devastating impacts of global warming have really informed my views, and they really informed my views about in 2019, I came forward with a resolution that said we need an aggressive climate action plan. We need to take the one we have and update it. And I believe we have the most aggressive climate action plan within the state of Montana. It does have teeth, and we are implementing it. I'm the only mayoral candidate up here that voted on that plan. I have committed resources to that plan, and I will continue committing resources both financially and capacity-wise to make sure that we bring that climate action plan to fruition. Climate is at the center of nearly every decision that I make and we make at the City Commission. And it was at my urging that we took that climate plan and included it in one of the criteria when we look at a project. How is that project meeting our climate action plan? Specifically, I think my priorities for the coming years will be to bring to the Commission the MOU with Missoula and Northwestern Energy, which we are making great headway on, to bring the green tariff and the renewable energy option to the citizens of Bozeman. Oh, that's time. Okay, thank you.
All right, we're gonna go to a little bit of a lighter question. What is your favorite thing to do when you are not working in Bozeman? We'll have Joey go first.
Favorite thing to do in Bozeman?
You're not working.
I'm not working. Oh man, I mean, I already kind of buried the lead earlier. Like our dogs run our life. Whatever they need, that's what we end up having to oblige. One of them is a border collie, and people know what border collies are like. Fairly demanding organism there. But on top of that, I spend most of my time really as a community organizer. Is this a 2-minute question or a 1-minute question? I see a 2-minute timer there.
2 minutes.
30 seconds. 30-second question. And being a community organizer is really how I've filled my time, like whether that means serving on different boards in this community or it means knocking doors and talking with our neighbors about the things that people are struggling with. Those are really the ways that I've had to fill my time. As a young working class person in this community, I've often found myself working 60, 70-hour work weeks. It can be tough to squeeze in much recreation between work shifts in there. We did a minute earlier. I'm going to go with a minute. All right.
Having identical twin boys is a lot of work, and it's a lot of reward. I love it when I read a story and I'll stop and they'll keep the sentence, they'll keep saying it. It's amazing how quickly they know the words and they memorize things. But that's a lot of work. And having kids, raising kids is a ton of work. It's also an amazing reward. When I'm not raising kids, when I'm not practicing environmental law, I love to ski a Bridger Bowl. Does anyone else ski a Bridger? All right. So I made a commitment last year not to drive my car to Bridger during the lift season. So I walk out my door 50 feet and hitchhike. And people, it's amazing how quick you get picked up if you hitchhike on Rouse Ave. Everyone feels bad because they're driving alone, so they pick you up and you have great conversations. I meet with the hedge fund manager, I meet with the liftie. It's incredible the people you meet if you ever hitchhike up Bridger Bowl. Thanks.
So when I'm not in Bozeman, things I like to do include going to our national parks. I love to hike. I like to hike in grizzly bear country. I like not being top of the food chain. I like that little bit of fear. I also like traveling. Last spring, I traveled to Amsterdam, the city in the Netherlands. I had a free airline ticket. And I went there basically just to get out of the U.S., but also to see how a city can prioritize bikes and walking through street design. And it was pretty incredible to see. I highly recommend it. I'm trying to think of ways to send city staff there. But just a couple of examples of kind of getting out of my comfort zone and going to different places, different countries, and grizzly bear country.
Well, what I really like to do is to get into our 1982 Volkswagen van again and drive as far as it'll take us, get off the grid, and camp. I love to camp. I love to hike. I love to sit around a campfire and just be able to be in nature. That is my happy place. It's always been my happy place, and I'm so grateful to have an old van that works. Ooh, that works better than this microphone does.
I don't know.
There we go. Oh, is it working?
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So I love to do that. And if I'm not doing that, then I really like to cook. I just love to create recipes. I love to read recipe books in my spare time. I love to get around with my girlfriends and cook up different kinds of meals. I really enjoy that. That's the creative part of me that that I love to do when I have time, and I can spend the whole day doing it. Thanks.
Well, I'm a serious amateur photographer, and I love the natural environment, so when I'm not working, you'll find me out and about in Bozeman, usually with a camera in my hand, hiking or in Highland Canyon, just enjoying the natural environment. Also, I work with a sanctuary, an animal sanctuary in South Africa that I enjoy traveling to. Before COVID, I used to go down twice a year. Since COVID, I go down at least once a year. And it is just, it's a pleasure to work with this animal sanctuary. It's all big cats. They do have some elephants, but it's mostly lions, tigers, leopards, cheetah. And I've helped raise and nursed lions, tigers, and cheetah. And I'm very privileged to have the opportunity to work with them. And it really is, it's just been to work with these wild animals that are wild in every sense of the term, but they invite you in. And that's my time's up. Thank you.
All right. Recently, many residents of Bozeman have been invested in policies to expand tenant or renter's rights, including access to safe, affordable, and secure housing. Some of the solutions that have been discussed include moving towards higher density housing options, banning type 2 short-term rentals where owners rent their homes while they are away or rent their ADUs, and banning type 3 short-term rentals where homes are rented that are not owner-occupied. Which of these, if any, will help solve the long-term housing crisis that Bozeman is facing while still helping residents out now? We'll start with John.
If you don't live in Montana, we should not allow you to rent an Airbnb and make a bunch of money off us, because it's not fair, because we can't afford to live here and you're making a bunch of money off us. That's just fundamentally unfair. So right out of the gate, let's say, let's get rid of type 3 Airbnb. Is everyone okay with that?
No.
No? Okay. Well, we'll talk after. Type 2. I have a good friend named Rick who lives on Church Ave. Rick has a mother-in-law apartment next door. The only way he can stay in Bozeman is if he continues to rent that as an Airbnb, a short-term rental. I'm okay with that because I love Rick. He's been here for 30, 40 years. I don't want to see the Ricks of Bozeman leave so we can have people from out of state move in and increase the cost of living. So to the extent that type 2s allow people to stay in Bozeman, I'm okay with that. I want to keep the character of Bozeman how we have it right now. What's the next part of the question there?
We've got, which of these, type 3 short-term rentals?
Yep, did that.
Type 2?
Did that.
Density housing.
Density housing. So I testified before the Gallatin County Commission probably 3 weeks ago about supporting a housing authority. They have them in Missoula, yeah, public housing. We need to start talking about public housing, and not just in a way where it's segregated so the low-income folks are in the public housing and the other folks are in a different part of the city. I'm talking about creating a development, a neighborhood, town where everyone can live together, where the baker lives next to the doctor, lives next to the dentist, lives next to the school teacher. That's real community to me, and I think that's what we should move to do. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll go to Joe. Joey. Jen, sorry, we'll go in a circle.
I think we got the rhythm down.
Okay, great.
Okay, so my answer to this question is basically all of the above. We are in a housing crisis and we need to do everything we can. We need to look at all options. We're currently investigating short-term rentals and deciding which path will help create, if any, additional housing. We need to look at ADUs, accessory dwelling units, expanding little homes that can be rented. We need to look at smaller apartments, smaller homes,
I wrote this down on a list because I knew I was going to forget something. Co-housing, we've got a great co-housing project on South Third right now. Cooperative housing, that's kind of a new concept, and there's a cooperative co-op housing project in Missoula I think we need to take a look at. Housing created through private-public partnerships. The city has been really active in doing just that, working with developers to create affordable housing and a diverse variety of housing. Similar to what John Meyer was talking about, his Bridgerview neighborhood, philanthropy, bringing philanthropy into our housing challenge and having people support projects like Bridgerview, which is using a tremendous amount of philanthropy to make happen. Public housing was mentioned. That's something that has a history in our country. I think it's worth looking at and exploring and possibly using public housing again. Transitional housing, shelters, and more. So looking at the wide variety of diversity of housing options.
Thanks. Well, I think, first of all, we are in a housing crisis. I just want to make sure everybody knows that I believe that, the commission believes that, and we do have a housing crisis. And I think that none of those options that are there alone are going to solve our housing problem, our housing crisis. And even collectively, I'm not sure those things are going to solve our collective housing problem. What I do think, though, and what I know are the things that have worked that I want to continue to work at. And some of those things include are using more tax increment finance dollars to build housing. We have had really great luck with LIHTC projects, low-income housing credits. And that's a competitive process all across the state, but we have gotten a lot of housing out of the ground using those LIHTC projects, and we need to continue doing that. This commission has put more money in our community housing fund than any commission prior. When I started, or not that many years ago, we had $300,000 in there. Today we have $2.5 million in that community housing fund. We have used ARPA funds for housing. We got 5 acres using $5.5 million of ARPA funds with a developer to be able to get more housing. And the other thing we really need to do is to continue to work and negotiate with those that are coming in wanting to annex into our community. And they say, you know what, city, we need this. We need a little more sewer. Maybe we need a lift station over here. And we say, well, you know what, we need affordable housing. So let's work together to figure out how we can help you get a lift station and you can help us get affordable housing. And that has been very successful. It was successful at fire station number one. It was successful with the fire, with the silo project, which has a different name now, but that's five. We have 5 acres now that the city's gonna be able to use to develop affordable housing. So yes, you guys, we are in a housing crisis. It has been a priority of our commission for many years, since I've been on the commission. Yes, it is slow, it is hard to make progress, but we are making progress. We have 11 projects in the pipeline. We have 600 of those units are going to be affordable, and 550 that'll be worked on in the next couple of years. Thanks.
As we've all discussed, affordable housing is a crisis and is an issue that this community, no doubt, is facing. And there are limitations on what the city can do. Part of the limitations has been the limitations that the legislature has placed on the city. So we can implement SB 323 from the last legislative session, which is the denser housing in single family areas. Ultimately, affordable housing is a supply issue. We've got to do everything across the board to increase supply, but increase it in a sane manner. Not increasing supply for the vacationer who comes here and buys a multi-million-dollar home, but increasing supply for the people who live and work here. So we've got to implement SB 323. We also have to implement SB 382, which is the multi-unit housing and single-family housing areas. We've got to support public-private partnerships are a good way to support that development of affordable housing. We've also got to increase, as I say, in denser development, but appropriate denser development, where there's appropriate carrying capacity. The administration's policies should be to expand the development, but I would say work with the Bozeman developers, not the out-of-state developers, because the out-of-state developers are looking to come here, make money, and take it out of the community. The Bozeman developers live here, they want to expand the options for the community, and those are the people that we should be working with, because they have the best interest of Bozeman in mind. And also, I would limit corporate ownership of homes, because one of the problems that we've got, and Jeff Bezos is in on this, they buy up huge amounts of stock, and that takes off the market, that limits supply. So we've got to eliminate the corporate ownership of homes other than for local people. Thank you.
I have experienced the housing crisis throughout my entire time that I've lived here in Bozeman. The first 6 years that I lived here, I moved every 3 months, which that looked like at times living in the basement of a church behind a gas station. I have lived out of my car. I have lived all across this community. Many of us that are renters actually have to make basically a monthly or an annual pilgrimage of having to move into a new place, which costs money, it costs PTO, it puts an additional cost burden on renters to have to relocate constantly. We know that type 3 short-term rentals are not a beneficial part of a community. Homes are for living in. They are not to be commercial products. They are zoned and intended to be for residential use, not as a home hotel. So those need to go. We need to prioritize as many units as possible. The cheapest units are the ones where we don't have to build any bricks and sticks, structures that already exist, which might look like prioritizing homes for locals, prioritizing and trying to incentivize ADUs to be affordable for locals, or it might look like redeveloping existing structures, you know, reconfiguring them into basically subdividing an existing structure. We also know that right now we need units. We're behind in inventory, so we're given basically three options. We either build up, we build out, or we build in. We've been building out. It's not good for us. It doesn't meet our public health goals. It doesn't meet our affordability goals. It makes us drive farther. It makes us more auto-dependent. It doesn't meet any of our goals for our community. So we know that that leaves us with building in and building up. Building in looks like ADUs. It looks like subdividing existing structures. Building up looks like building density and building higher in places that make sense. It needs to be close to major thoroughfares. It needs to be close to people's jobs. It needs to be close to public transportation, because that is how we get to a community that feels truly sustainable.
Great. So our last question before we start moving into our audience Q&A for you all. In the last year, there have been threats of violence to BIPOC and LGBTQ+ folks in our community. These threats exist in the wider Bozeman community as well on the Montana State University campus. What is your plan to ensure the physical and emotional well-being of all Bozeman residents, including MSU students?
I've spent most of my career working in law enforcement as a prosecutor for the NYPD and now in the defense world. So I'm well versed in, and when I was a prosecutor, I was a big city prosecutor in a minority community. So I'm well versed in the issues that minorities face within minority communities and how to deal with them from a law enforcement perspective. Our role in the city administration is to work with the courts, to work with Bozeman Hospital to make sure evidence, if it's a sexual assault case, is collected appropriately, to work with the county prosecution. It's a multifaceted relationship. But our job is to enforce that all citizens, irrespective of their identification, who they sleep with, who they associate with, how they go about their daily lives, are treated equally before the law, irrespective, without preference or prejudice. And I would use my experience in law enforcement that policies be developed within Bozeman, especially as the city expands and expand the police force, I'd bring more women onto the police force so that on every shift there's at least one woman working who's trained to deal with sexual assault and the violence against children. That is a minimum that we have to do. We owe it to the community because everyone in the community is equal before the law. Thank you.
I have spent the majority of my career as a social worker, working with some of the most marginalized and vulnerable people in our community. People that have experienced violence, that have faced violence and hate in our street. And we should be able to trust first and foremost, without a single doubt, that when hate shows up in our streets, that our city leadership will condemn it and condemn it loudly. When just this year we've had white supremacists and neo-Nazis show up in our streets saying that they hate trans people, that they hate queer people, that they hate people of color, we need to know that our city outright condemns this and will work with all of the necessary leaders to make sure that those people are safe, that our citizens are safe, and that they will be safe going forward. We need to make real robust plans on how those things are going to work, which means working with all of the local safety centers and all of the pieces of our community that keep us safe. But I also want to address the MSU piece. For most of the time that I've been here in this community, MSU is treated as if it kind of writes its own ship. It's its own insulated island that the city does not have to deal with. But when hate shows up on MSU's campus, that is also the city's responsibility. Those are our citizens, those are our people, and we need to be able to know that we're going to step up and protect them. And I also want to make sure that if I were mayor and these sorts of things show up, you would hear from the commission immediately. We would be working proactively with the university to make sure they are not dithering on taking safety seriously with their students and making sure that it's clear that Bozeman is not a place for hate. That is one of the things that I've been working with while I was sitting on the city's Economic Vitality Board, which oversees diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, as well as sitting on the Belonging in Bozeman steering team, where we're talking about what are the resources that people need to feel safe. And what we learned from that process is that we actually need to create a staffed position within the city that specifically oversees this and specifically builds public and private partnerships to make sure that our people are safe.
Does everyone know what BIPOC means, what it stands for? I'm seeing some people say no. Black, Indigenous, people of color. The word Indigenous resonates with me. We're right now on Crow land. This was historically Crow tribal land before we stole it from them. Right now, I'm in court. I just won a case in the Montana Supreme Court 6 weeks ago that said I'm representing a tribal member from the Crow who was assaulted by a white guy. This white guy told the newspaper, it's white against red. I carry a rifle in my truck because of this family. So I went to court on behalf of this Native American family, and we won. And now the Montana Supreme Court said, you're going to find out how much your client should be awarded for punitive. Punitive damages mean, this is not okay. What you're doing is not okay. And so it's not okay to have hate in our town. It's not okay to have racism in our town. It's not okay. That sort of attitude is just not okay. There's no place for that in Bozeman. We need to take that training, that thought, that mentality, and get rid of it. We need to start and redo the entire thing. We need to have training. Every member, every commissioner, every employee of the city of Bozeman should have training so that we know. Because we're white, we're privileged. And we have blind spots we don't know about, myself included. We all have blind spots, and we all need to be open to learning where we have blind spots and how we can be better people. I just met with the chief of police when I first started the candidacy. He said we're about 25 officers short. So if we were worried about protecting this health, safety, and welfare people, maybe we should hire some more law enforcement officers to protect us all.
You are listening to KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM or online at kgvm.org. You're listening to a recording from the Bozeman Municipal Candidate Forum, originally recorded on October 5th, 2023 at Wild Joe's.
joy. I feel really proud to live in a community that has such strong statements about hatred and police brutality and these things in our community and our country that we just should not tolerate. I really believe in a zero tolerance policy, and that it needs to come from the top. Our police force, our chief of police, we have some degree of control as commissioners in the hiring of that individual. We hire the city manager. And we direct policy and all of these important pieces to make sure that there's accountability coming out of our police office. Things on Monday night, or Tuesday night, excuse me, at our city commission meeting, we had a presentation on body cameras being worn by our police department members. And it's stuff like that, body cameras that are going to help with accountability. We need education, like has been mentioned already, and we need to work more strongly with MHU, develop a partnership there, not only on issues like this, but issues of housing, issues of transportation. So I'd like to see them kind of come to the table, but we need to reach out to them as well. So that really is all I have to say on the issue. Like I've said, I'm really proud to hear my fellow candidates. It pains me when I see issues in our community, and I'm really glad for the follow-up to those issues, and we need to continue with that follow-up and make sure absolutely zero tolerance.
Well, I agree with all the folks up here. It's not tolerated, that kind of behavior in our community. I view MSU students as a critical part of our community. They need our responsibility is to keep them safe and well, just like it is our responsibility to keep all of you safe and well. I was on the city commission when we passed our first the first non-discrimination ordinance, one of the first in the state. That was no picnic. We had a lot of people that didn't think that was a really great idea, but we did it anyway. I also had the opportunity this year to attend and participate in our Pride event, first one in over 10 years. There were some people that attended that event that were not really very well behaved. And I witnessed that when I was listening to the Drag Story Hour, and later that evening I went to the drag show, and I was given the opportunity to express my views about people that had been misbehaving in our community. And I told the folks there that in no way was that behavior acceptable or tolerable in the community. And I feel really strongly about that. And there's a YouTube video, if you want to Google it sometime, you will see me up there talking about my feelings about what went on that day. I also felt so strongly and continue to feel strongly that I urged, that I requested, I should say, that we fly the, what I call the all are welcome flag at Bozeman at City Hall, some call it the pride flag, and with the support of the city commission, that flag flies at City Hall every day, 365 days a year, not just during June Pride Month. I also think it's really important that we give our police officers the resources that they need to do the job they need to do in our community, to continue giving them training and tools to be able to understand and work with all members of our community, that there are people in our community, and understandably so, that don't feel as safe around the police as some of us do. And so we have gone to great lengths and put a lot of resources behind training our police officers and how they deal with very difficult situations throughout the community. So I'm a very big proponent of this training and continuing to keep our community safe.
Okay, whew, that was a lot. So that was the end of our Ford Montana questions. I see a pretty large stack of audience questions. I'm gonna go insert them and try and get them into some themes, perhaps, and some larger questions for you all to answer. But in the meantime, you all had some directions before to come. So, Wyatt.
All right, so in the meantime, our candidates are going to do two things for us. One, they're going to give us a little fit check. Two, They are going to tell us what's in their bag. Everyone was given a heads up. Take this as seriously or as silly as you would like to. First up, we've got John. So for anyone who does not know what a fit check is, you're just going to give us a little spin, and you're going to give him a little shout out for how good he looks. All right, what's in your bag?
In my bag.
What's in that bag?
I've got a... So, is anyone recreate on the Gallatin River? Does anyone fish, anyone hike, swim, kayak, paddle on the Gallatin? Yesterday, I was in Seattle in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Argued a case, the Big Sky Resort is polluting the Gallatin River. I think we won. We're going to hold the polluters accountable. Last thing in the bag. I'm running what's called the cardboard campaign. We're a grassroots campaign. We don't want a bunch of money. We're not really trying to take out-of-state money, unlike some other people on the mayoral race. We're trying to keep this as low-key as possible. So if you support my candidacy, hold up a cardboard sign. I've got one over here, and it just says my name. We got it on Instagram. So hundreds of people across Montana and Bozeman, this is the official endorsement of my campaign. This is Elisa Wild Joe's Barista right here. Let's hear it. Yeah. Emily. Emily Wild Joe's Barista right here. Anya Wild Joe's Barista right here. Sunday, I met with this guy. He's endorsing my campaign. Does anyone know who this guy is here? This is Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia. He's endorsing my campaign to make Bozeman the most sustainable town on the planet.
All right, thank you so much. Next, we have Jen. Jen, come on up.
Okay, my bag is my check.
All right, she's going to give us a little spin.
Oh.
Give her that fit check. Woo-hoo. All right. Do you have a bag? Do you not have a bag?
My bag is my jacket. I traveled light today. So in my jacket pockets, I have the essential credit card. I also, on the other side, essentials. Anyone know what this is? I also, food for myself, a Lara bar, no added sugar. My dietitian mom would be proud. And... what could these be? Dog treats. It helps when you have a dog to smell like a dog bit skin. She follows me diligently. And then also my phone and notes for today, because I knew I was going to forget a few things. Not terribly exciting, but that's it.
We are sorting, that's a great question. We are sorting through those to make sure that everything is vetted first, so we will get there as soon as we can. All right, next we've got Cindy. Come on up, Cindy. And we'll have you do a little fit check first, so give us a spin.
Really, the fit check that I saw was talking about what you're wearing and why you're wearing it, right? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you that I think a lot about my clothes. I love buying classic clothes and hope that they last a long time, but the problem is then when you bring them to the Goodwill or to Le Couture, that they won't take them because they're out of style, and then you're mortified because you're wearing things that are out of style, or they just don't want them. They're perfectly good clothes. So my sweater is from Le Couture. My pants are cut from the cloth. I think they're from Nordstrom's. My boots are Blondo, and this blouse is from my mom. But I love art. As some of you might know, I'm a big proponent of art, and I can't always afford to buy art, but I love to wear art. So my jewelry tonight is my necklace that's made out of zippers. In my bag, I have my water bottle. This is a bigger bag than I wear. Sometimes I had my computer in it. Today I took it out. I have a wallet that has some credit cards and my coffee cards in it and some cash and my punch cards from the coffee shop as well. I have my car keys. I always have cards on me that are my mayor cards.
I have my phone, some earplugs, because I travel quite a bit. Actually, I have two phones. One's my personal phone, one's my city phone. I have gloves today. I have little gummy bears for when I get hungry, and, well, they're not really gummy bears, let me just make that really clear. They're assorted fruit snacks, not get that confused with anything else. I have my sewing kit, because you never know. And a bunch of other pens and pencils and hand wash and sanitizer and whatever. And thank you, Mr. Monahan.
So for our candidates, we do have a couple questions that are ready to go. Do you want to do a pitch or do you want to move on?
Oh, they all have to do a pitch.
So we'll move to the questions. All right. So you will have 2 minutes for these questions as well. The first question is, what is the one thing you would do to address affordable housing for the making minimum wage in Bozeman? You'll have 2 minutes. We'll start with Roger. I'll start with Roger.
All right. Well, affordable housing is a multifaceted problem, multifaceted issue, and I don't think there's just one thing that can be done. However, since I am limited by the question to one thing that can be done, I think the quickest way to affordable housing with just one segment of a multi-segmented problem would be a public-private partnership in developing a denser community development would be the quickest way to get apartments under construction to address that. I'd also allow ADUs because that will increase supply, and I would also put limitations on non-owner-occupied investment Airbnbs.
Yeah, if there's only one single thing that we can do, we know that, I'm going to treat that question like it's talking about folks that are making the lowest income, minimum wage or whatever, like something very low area median income. Often those are actually, the only way that we can create units that are actually affordable for the folks that are making the least in our community is through public-private partnerships to buy property or to incentivize developers to build affordable housing through things like low-income housing tax credits. Other options that are really promising that other communities around the country are starting to look into is a public housing authority that is tasked with building sort of a new imagination of public housing being social housing. So it's effectively like every strata of socioeconomic class is present within social housing projects, that effectively the people who are paying the most are subsidizing the rate for the people who are making the least. These still often require like bonds and buy-in and things like that, buying debt to be able to make it more affordable. But those are really some of the most promising things that we see. And an example of that is, the Bridgerview units where it's integrated with below market rate and market rate, because we know that diversified housing is the healthiest housing that we can possibly build. But if it's just something like one single thing that we can do to start to build units more quickly, it is going to be, making it easier for people to build ADUs and build it more cheaply, as well as subdividing existing homes. In most of Bozeman, it's actually illegal to like put up a wall in your house and create a private entrance that makes it rentable for another person. Those are the things that we need to remove to make it easier for us to build inward in our already established, beloved neighborhoods.
Joey, that was not one thing. That was like five. But they're all great ideas and suggestions. I live in the Bridgerview Affordable Housing Complex, and what I've been told from people is that the development costs come in the cost of land. And so if we can remove the cost of land, we can reduce the cost to develop the affordable units that we all need. And so one way to do that is to look at what land does the city own. The city has land near the Museum of the Rockies. Maybe we can build on that, a public-private partnership, where we start taxing out-of-staters much more, create a stream of income, use that public-private partnership to develop affordable housing on city's land. That's my one single thing that I would suggest we look into.
thing I would say is to build smaller units that take advantage of existing infrastructure and have efficiencies like shared walls and shared pipes, sewer pipes. So taking advantage of existing infrastructure many times can be infill or very close to the edge of town that can take advantage of streets that have already been built and so forth. So smaller units that are using existing, you don't have to build a new road to get to, I think is the best thing we can do. And I talked previously about a lot of the affordable housing strategies, those all still stand, but I would think that one thing is what I would propose.
One thing that I propose where I've seen the most success in the past is the low-income housing tax credits. Those projects are competitive, so I would be working and looking at ways that we're able to be as competitive as we possibly can. Look for builders and developers who are interested in those kinds of projects and working with the state to see how we can score higher and be able to do more low-income housing tax credit projects. We have several hundred units that have come out of that. The one that comes to my mind is the one that's right on sort of across from Canyon Noble, low-income housing tax credit house. And they're integrated, they're different categories of, you know, different levels of income, but they're really successful. And we have had several of those projects, and I'd like us to continue working on that.
Our next question is, how would you encourage development that is both environmentally responsible and affordable? We'll start with Joey.
At the end of the day, affordability and sustainability need to be core components of absolutely every single project that the city is looking to develop. Public-private partnerships, no doubt an effective way to do this. Taking out the equation of how much land costs, being able to use city land, absolutely makes a big difference. But to the piece that I spoke about earlier of winning EPA grants, there are grants out there to specifically create subdivisions that have solar panels or that are all working off of a grid together to be able to pull away from some sort of monopoly ratepayer or monopoly power utility like Northwestern Energy. It also provides opportunities for integrated urban gardens and things like that as parts to promote food sovereignty and pieces like that. But I think the simplest piece is just a recognition that this most sustainable and affordable housing is structures that already stand right now. Building or bulldozing an existing structure to build something on top of it almost never pencils out for water, for cost, for affordability, or really for anything. So being able to make sure that we're prioritizing the units that we have right now, making them more available, making them more affordable, being able to open it up for folks that own those homes to subdivide them into additional units, and make sure that everything about our community is ensuring that we can protect and preserve our existing green spaces and our mature trees and our beautiful waters. Those are core components of just what to me are threading the needle between affordability and sustainability.
What I just heard is that we should chop up existing houses and create more units. And I fundamentally disagree with that. That goes to the development code revisions that we're looking at right now. I don't think that we should be chopping up historic houses and saying we're going to totally revamp your neighborhood. It's not going to look anything like the neighborhood you know. I'm totally opposed to all the development code revisions happening right now. I think the best way to create good, affordable, environmental housing is look at what property the city has and then go from there, because you remove that cost of development, public-private partnership, and then in terms of the environment, why don't we have community sewer gardens? Why don't we have things like that, wind turbines, where you can purchase a share of that as a citizen of your neighborhood, as a community resident? Why don't we have those things? That's what I think we can do as a town, as a neighborhood, is start to really invest in these infrastructures. Right now, Northwestern Energy doesn't allow these sorts of things. I think as a city mayor, we should start challenging Northwestern Energies. They're saying, we're not going to let you do these things. You can't have community solar. No, you can't do it. And I say, yes, we can. As a city, we have a bunch of power. We need to start exerting that and taking the power back. Local control, right? I mean, who knows better how to represent us than us? We should be able to do it ourselves. We shouldn't have to ask Northwestern Energy for permission to generate our own electricity. It's just, that's fundamentally wrong. We should be able to do it ourselves. We need to challenge the legislature. We need to challenge Northwestern Energy every step so that we can start providing for ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback on something Joey said because I think it's super important. So we have heard that the cheapest housing out there is the housing we already have. And if we take advantage of that housing stock and allow owners to, in John's terminology, chop them up and to provide additional housing from the housing stock we already have, that could be a really good thing that helps housing affordability. It can help people, middle-income, lower-income people stay in their homes by offering up a rental choice. And John, I would say our community has been doing that for quite some time. If you go to the historic district, the historic homes have been chopped up into apartments. You can go for a tour and count the meter boxes behind homes. I live in an R1 zoning district, and you drive down the street, and it might look like an R1, but you take a walk around, and it is so incredibly diverse. I have a fourplex behind me that looks like a single family home. Someone chopped it up years ago, put four apartments in it, four kitchens, four driveways in the back. And there are so many examples like that. So it does not make sense to take our neighborhoods to the landfill, which we have been doing. Let's keep that housing that we have that has some integrity and character and try to make the best of that while keeping people in their homes.
Well, I think I would agree with Commissioner Magic that keeping people in their homes, and Mr. Morrison too, is a great way to keep the cost of housing down. I would say that we have passed ordinances that help us with ADUs, particularly in the core of downtown, or you know, in the core of Bozeman. I don't know if you all know this, but the legislature passed a law that went into effect October 1st that now makes duplexes allowable in every single zone in the city. So that is something that went into effect on October 1st. So that'll be interesting and something that will certainly increase our housing supply. You know, when you think about conservation, as I said before, I think we look at our climate plan and put it up against every development that we do. We will just be looking at our water conservation plan here in the next couple of weeks. We have done design guidelines for drought-tolerant foliage around people's yards in our community. And so I think, again, just doing the things that we've done, ADUs, duplexes, keeping the housing stock that we have. And when we look at new development, we look at building smaller lots, we look at more efficient housing in terms of the materials that are being used, and we look at how we are going to do conservation, water conservation, drought-tolerant planting, those kinds of things that really make the city more sustainable and I think more affordable as well.
Well, look, I'm not a home builder, so I'm not going to pretend to be able to answer the questions on construction, but I can tell you that with technology today, you can get a prefab house that is inexpensive in the scheme of costs that comes with, I know there's the latest prefab houses are incorporating this NASA material that is sprayed on the interior of the home that has the energy efficiency of something like 6 or 8 inches of insulation. These houses can be put up in a period of weeks, not even months, in a period of weeks. They can be on-site, established, and people can begin living in them. If you start at the beginning of the summer, by the end of the summer, people can be living in them in an affordable house of their own in a prefab community. I think we have to think outside the box, outside the traditional construction methods, and include prefab houses and house kits and different sized lots that are appropriate for such houses. Thank you.
This next question that we have is something that's important to us at Ford Montana as Youth Voter Engagement Hub, and you'll each have 1 minute to answer. What more can Bozeman do to promote civic engagement?
What more can Bozeman do to promote civic engagement? Civic engagement. I hear that question to me, how do we get more people involved in our democracy? People are shaking their head, yes. Right now, the city is looking at a proposed development code revision, and so many people haven't heard about this. They have no idea what the heck is going on. And what's happening is that the city is talking about eliminating zoning regulations so that you can go bulldoze your historic house and put up some huge monstrosity. You can put a bunch of new housing in that doesn't belong. It doesn't fit the character of the neighborhood. And nobody knows about it in Bozeman. People just don't know. The word is just getting out. People are upset. So if you want to promote civic engagement, tell people before. Don't just spring the plan on them and say, we're going to do this. You can respond if you want, but it's kind of already a done deal. Because that's what it feels like to so many people. We need to tell them before and get people involved at the very beginning.
I'm a community planner. I have a master's degree in planning. I've worked for the city of Helena. I've worked for Gallatin County, and I'm working as a consultant in a variety of cities. I believe in bottom-up processes. I believe in grassroots planning. I don't think we've done a good job with our UDC outreach. I don't. I think we could have done things a little differently. I'm not blaming anyone. Part of the problem is our city is incredibly busy right now. Not to make excuses, but I really believe in the neighborhood structure. So having neighborhoods determine their own future and their own fortune, and our neighborhoods are all different. So have neighborhood plans, and we've had a history of doing neighborhood plans. People getting together to kind of work for a common goal in our diverse parts of town. So I support that. I think we have the framework to do that with our neighborhood associations.
Thanks. I think the question was about how to get young people involved in civic engagement, right?
Just generally.
Okay, well, I would just start out by saying we have a whole lot of vacancies on some of our city boards. And there's one way that everybody can start to get involved if you're interested in being on a city board and working at learning about city process. You know, I will agree with Commissioner Magic that we probably didn't do such a great job at getting the word out about our UDC. And even though you look at I have 9 pages of all the different engagement that we did, but somehow we missed the mark, guys, and I admit that. And I think that there's we have to do better. And some of the things I've been thinking about are, the neighborhood plan that Jen talked about, but I also have been thinking about how do we go to where the people are. So have little forums like this in different parts of the community that work with different neighborhoods and different neighborhoods to get that input. Maybe we do some more pre-recorded videos, like we talk about water conservation. I don't know how many of you have seen that video, but just videos where we talk and educate people about what we're doing. So I think there's definitely work we need to do in that arena.
Over my time here in Bozeman, I felt that the city has been less responsive to the interests of the public and our concerns. We have to have buy-in from the public, and part of the buy-in from the public is the city has to tell everybody what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing on whatever the issue may be. I can tell you, if I am fortunate enough to be elected, I will hold a town hall once a month and before any significant vote. So, because we all work for you. Our job is to represent you. And the only way we can do that efficiently is if you tell us what you want and how we want the community to progress. And we do that by having an open door policy and a interactive back and forth with the community. And I feel that in my time here, and this is one of the reasons I'm running, is that has been lost. I feel the city government is not responsive to me. Thank you.
There's sort of an obvious association between how someone runs a campaign and how they are going to govern. People up here have talked about running a grassroots campaign. I am actually the only candidate up here running one of the most robust grassroots campaigns in Montana's history for any municipal candidacy, period. Even tonight, right now, in my bag is my clipboard. Normally Thursday nights, I'm out canvassing. We don't get to 2,000 doors a week, which my campaign almost knocked last week, 2,000 doors. We don't get there without civic engagement. We don't get there without a lot of people committing their time to go and talk to their neighbors and get them involved and engaged with this community. You can trust that if I am in City Hall, you will be engaged, you will be consulted with, you will have somebody who you can call and talk to. My campaign is committed. We have over 100 unique volunteers that are out knocking doors 7 days a week. Part of my campaign is out knocking doors right at this very moment while I'm here doing my part.
Great. We have one last question. It's several people submitted similar questions, so I apologize that I had to condense them. Just wanted to get them asked. But it's in relation to the UDC zoning. Do you agree with the zoning that's happening? And one of the questions also asked about how some people up here will not be affected by this zoning. So how is this fair and equitable to the rest of Bozeman? And we'll start with.
Good question to end on. So our current UDC is not that great. I don't know how many of you have gone online and tried to look up the zoning of your property and how things work. You probably struggle, like I have over the years. It's not easy. So one of our primary goals with the UDC update is to make it more user-friendly. It's critical and so important that average people can understand and read those regulations, know what they can do with their property, don't have to hire a planner or a lawyer to read it. So I am happy with the UDC update in that regard. There are aspects of it that I disagree with, and I'm not going to use political speak. We should not be combining a large number of zoning districts in a way that upsets people without buy-in from the community. So the current RA process is problematic because we don't have buy-in from the community. And that's not good. So we need to go back, work on that, and work as a community. Show up with solutions and not show up to say no. That's not helpful. Show up and help us figure out how to deal with our housing crisis. We need a community to figure out solutions to these issues.
Thanks. The UDC has certainly caused a lot of people to become all of a sudden engaged in what's happening in their backyard, and that's a good thing. And I think that's where we are in this process. As Commissioner Magic said, we had Code Studio go out and try to make it easier for everybody. And they asked us about, do you think we should look at how we sort of combine residential zones? And we said, yeah, let's take a look at that. Let's see what happens. And so they came back and said, okay, here's our ideas. And people took a look at that and thought, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And I will just tell you that it is a step too far for me as well. I think there's merit, though, in being able to take a look at something and really understand why is it good, why is it bad. But this is the time for community engagement. We have some time to be able to look at this, what's being proposed. There is somewhat of a sense of urgency, and I just wanted to get this out there. I just told you about the two that duplexes are now allowed everywhere. There are other bills that went into effect as of October 1st. 382 that talks about some of these plans,
including some of this zoning stuff, gives us a little more leeway in terms of time that we can implement some of these things. So we are hearing you loud and clear. We understand there's, I should say, I'm hearing you loud and clear. I understand there's frustration. I'm happy to talk to anybody in more detail about what is happening with the UDC. And we will have more community conversation. We will have an opportunity for you to weigh in, but I just want to be very clear that what is being presented at this time for me is a step too far.
The proposed UDC is supposed to reflect the values of the community. And I've heard nothing but criticism regarding the proposed UDC. And the criticism is valid in that the community, since it's supposed to reflect their values, they weren't brought into the process. And this to me is representative of a city hall that is out of touch with us and our interests. And I think the response to the UDC is reflective of that.
Yeah, we know that we can't burn down what we have to build something better on top of it. And it's for those reasons and the outrage from the community and the clear lack of buy-in that the community has that I cannot in good faith support the current UDC proposals. To me, it's absolutely unacceptable failure in communication between the city and the residents of this community. Just a few weeks ago, I sent out a letter to 10,000 doors in this community. That is something. It doesn't cost that much money to do that. If I'm in City Hall, I can promise that we will send every single quarter, we will send what is coming up on you in your neighborhood. It shouldn't, it's not appropriate, it's completely unacceptable that you have to be friends with a commissioner or live next to a commissioner to necessarily be properly engaged. That isn't civic engagement, that's not engaging with our community. We would send out these letters that would say, here's what might come up in the next 6 months. In the next 12 months, here's what might come up in the next 5 years. What do you think about it? To me, that is the entire purpose of, one, the benefit of having a community organizer in City Hall, is one that understands the networks and the need to actually go and engage with people in the community. When we're out knocking 1,000 doors or 2,000 doors every single week, we are hearing about this. We have one of the highest resolutions of the problems and the people and what the people think is happening in this community, because we go out and we talk to you. We go out and talk to the people every single day because we know, we don't pretend, I'm certainly no pretender that I have every single answer, but I believe that we have all of the answers here in this community, and we need to be prioritizing the wisdom and the experiences of the people who live here, who make this community run, who are the property taxpayers who pay for the budget that this city operates on.
The question was about the UDC, and I just heard about sending letters to Bozeman residents and how it doesn't cost that much. And the problem I have with that statement is that Mr. Morrison has taken more money from out of staters than I've collected as a candidate. It's true.
No, it's not.
Okay. So look at the FEC filings. You can check.
It's all public. Everyone can check. That
we can all check and see how much money we've all taken from the developers. I'm the only candidate who said no money from developers. I won't take a single dollar, a penny from any developer. No one else has said that. I'm the only candidate saying I'm not in favor of the development revision. No one else is saying that. Everyone's saying maybe take a step back. So instead of allowing eight apartments, new apartments, we're going to allow seven. And eight stories, no, that's too much. Let's now say seven. No, that's not enough. We got to totally put this, go back to square one, put this back on the bookshelf. Let's put this a year, 2 years back. Let's talk about this from the very beginning. Not, we want a little bit of input from you, but we're going to keep moving forward. No, we're just going to say no. It's like drugs. Just say no. If we want a real town, we have to get together and talk about it. It's not enough to say, we've already put something out, we're gonna revisit it a little bit. We have to start over from square one. Let's do this for real. If we want real buy-in, we need real democracy. We need to really sit down with people and talk about what's going on. And we're not doing that as a town, as a community. That's what we need. That's what I'm gonna bring as the next mayor.
closing.
Thank you to everyone who came to Ford Montana's Municipal Candidate Forum. We appreciate the community who showed up and the candidates who are here to talk with us. Thank you all for being here tonight.
We also wanted to thank the Wild Joe's staff for being open this long and being here to serve all of us, to give us coffee and drinks. If you have any questions about Ford Montana, please find anyone in the name tag, Wyatt, myself, or run at the table, so we can answer them. But thank you for coming.
If you...
Hello, I'm sorry I didn't respond to your text.
If you put a raffle in...